Hi again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. And the Lord has sidetracked me here. He wants me to begin reading some of the leaflets, the different literature that the Lord has given me. Power pack, because it's the Lord's word. And I've already done my testimony tract and another one. Which one was it that I did? Do you remember? Well, earthquake, yes. And now we're on the book, piece of literature entitled Another Pearl Harbor. And tonight we're doing part 10. Then we have several letters here, responses from all over the country. We can only do three or four on these programs. There's so many of them. There's actually hundreds and hundreds of them that continue coming in, and there's all the time, so there's no shortage of them at all. But right now, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to outwardly anoint, to pour out His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of to minister His word, the Spirit that gives us the power to minister His word. That is, He ministers His word in us and through us. So, Father, we thank and praise Your holy name because it's Your ministry, not ours. And it's Your ministry that's being attacked by liars and persecutions. And You stated that all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so if people are not receiving persecution for the gospel's sake, well, then they're really, I don't believe they're saved, because ever since I've received salvation, Father, You know, for 41 years now, I've been highly persecuted, along with my wife, late wife, Susie, who passed away in 82 to go to meet You. April 8th, 1982. And so, Lord, we rejoice, though, when we're being lied about. We rejoice when there's all the different things that happen to us from the world, because You stated that we're supposed to leap and be glad and rejoice, because the prophets before us were persecuted and lied about the very same way. Even You, Lord, were nailed to the cross on a pack of lies, and were sold out by a former follower of Yours. And, Lord, we ask that You pour out Your outward anointing so that the inward anointing of people that are Christians, true Christians, can be strengthened and raised up upon higher ground. We ask also, Lord, that You open the ears, the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of everyone, so that they can see that the unsaved, that they're in darkness and that they need to come out from that darkness, come out from the world, and leave behind their old life and be resurrected unto the new life, which is in You, Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that You will let everything that's being said on this program be directly from You, from the throne of God in heaven. Lord, that the souls will be edified in the church and strengthened, and that the souls will be saved out in the world by the billions. Father God, we ask it in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
All right.
Dear Sir, Calvary greetings in Jesus' name. I have been a long reader of your magazines and books, which has really helped in uplifting my spirit and refreshing my soul, and is making so many differences in my life. I want to tell you how great of an effect your ministry has had on my life. After going through your books and literature, I started realizing what my Christian work and life should be like. I started thinking about how great it would be to work and win souls for God every day of my life. I am really getting God's teaching into my life through you. I am walking in love more and more each day, learning about prayer. I even bless those who curse me and really want to do as you are doing, touching thousands of people's lives every day of my life, because I have come to realize that is God's purpose for me. I want to work for the Lord and affect people's lives. Can you help me? I am a male of 29 years from Nigeria. I am a man who loves God with a passion because of his goodness and mercies in my life, and I am dying to know him more and better and to help spread his gospel. I am not a very social and fluent type, but I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit I will be able to do that. Please, Pastor, I need your help in this area as to be able to work for God and spread his good works, especially in the areas of Nigeria where there is no gospel.
You know, I never was a sociable type person either until the Lord saved my soul. By nature, I'm not a talker. I'm not a person that likes to socialize. I was always kind of like a lone wolf out there in the world before 41 years ago, and never wanted to be up front or in the spotlight. Even though I had many opportunities to do so, I chose to be behind the scenes in the life that I would live. But the Lord called me out of the world and out of my way of thinking and the way that I had fashioned a career. But the Lord does not want us to plan a future for ourselves in the world. And when we get saved, he doesn't want us to plan a future for ourselves in the ministry. In other words, let the Lord come to the Lord as his vessel for him to live in. Come to the Lord just as you are. And the things that I never was, he has now made it to where I am. I never was a pastor or a preacher or a teacher and never wanted to be. But that's what I am. And I never wanted to be, really go to school. And now he's made me the president of the American Association of Non-Denominational Schools, and I've been running schools now for over 30 years. And from kindergarten all the way through high school. And so I didn't plan that as a future in the body of Christ. So we're to come to the Lord and just die out, become like on the altar, as the burnt sacrifices were in the Old Testament, not to actually be burnt, but to just, he says, we must die out to our will and live according to the will of the Lord. So how could we then plan a future for ourselves if we're wanting to do the will of the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
So we must, if we want to please the Lord and if we want to be spiritual, we must let the Lord, the Spirit of God. God is not a ghost, he's a spirit. God is the Spirit, the Bible says. And Shakespeare, who rewrote the Bible, changed the words into this old English, used the word ghost. And I saw a man on television that thought that Shakespeare was a greater speaker and writer than Jesus. And I just looked at that man with sympathy, because the whole Word of God is Jesus, and all Shakespeare did was put the Bible to Old English. He didn't change it, with the exception of some words like ghost. He changed spirit in some places to ghost. But God is not a ghost. He is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so try to remember that. Okay? And so, the Lord wants us to be led by his Spirit. He wants to do the work in us. Otherwise, it's not the work of the Lord. At the moment, I'm relying strictly on the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you. These certainly are not my words. I don't get credit for any of the literature that God has given me. There was a Messiah book, and I'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. People have written many Messiah books, and there was one that I liked some parts of it, but it had over 500, 600, 700 mistakes in it, so the Lord led me to change those mistakes and make everything scriptural in the book. Then I called the man who had written the book with all the mistakes, and I told him about them. And I even mentioned a few of them to him on the phone. And I said, look, I've changed all those, and what about it? You didn't write these, and so I'm going to say that I rewrote your... He's go right ahead. He says, sir, you know, you're definitely right. You know, you've changed these to where it's scriptural. And I recognize it. I've been told by other people that some of the scripture... I said, some of them, it's literally hundreds. And so I changed that book to where it's now scriptural. And that's the most important thing, is to be scriptural. But I didn't plan this. The Lord told me to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And so if it's of the Lord, please don't criticize me for what I'm doing, because I'm doing what the Lord says.
Amen.
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 And if you criticize me for what I'm doing, then you're a critic. And I doubt very much that you're a Christian. Now, if I'm sinning, tell me, okay? If you are a Christian and you love me and I'm sinning, well, then for heaven's sake, straighten me out like I'm straightening out the world with the Spirit of the Lord that He's telling me to. I allow Him to use me to preach the Word of God through me. So, if why don't you let the Spirit of God come to me in love and tell me what I'm doing wrong, if you think I am? Wouldn't that make you a better Christian? Or wouldn't that make you a Christian the way that you're supposed to be? Because the Lord says that we must walk in love. Amen?
Amen.
To be meek, lowly. Let's continue with this. It's obvious that the thousands of letters that we receive, that people are, their lives are getting straightened out, and they're becoming Christians from it. So it's obvious that it must be the Spirit of the Lord, because no man can come unto the Lord unless the Spirit, not the ghost, but the Spirit draw him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. If it's a ghost, I don't know anything about that. I know the Spirit of the Lord. And those that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm telling you the truth. And please tell me the truth if I'm in error. But the people that always attempt to do that, I've always found them that they just don't have any enlightenment. They're not able to enlighten me, because they're, so far anyway. But maybe you have something to say, and I'm certainly willing to listen. Send in your reproofs to me and your rebukes. I'd love to hear them. It will more than likely make me sleep better at night. Okay, now let's finish the letter, please.
So please, can you assist me with Bibles, magazines, and literature to help me grow in faith, and also distribute to the areas where the Word of God is yet to reach, and also as a way of helping me grow spiritually? I don't mind coming over to the United States, or whatever way you feel like I can get close to God and be in partner with your ministry and work for God. God's ways are mysterious. You never can tell what He has for us. Expecting to hear from you as soon as possible. Yours, Duru, from Nigeria, Africa.
God's ways are mysterious until you read the Word of God. When you read the Word of God in the Spirit, then the mystery of God is over with, which that is mentioned in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, that where the Lord himself, as the angel of the Lord, puts one foot in the sea and the other one on the land, and he states that the Word of God, the mystery of God, is finished. Finito. Amen?
Amen.
And so, but there is another organization too that is called by God Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, this is a mystery to most people because they don't know the Bible, but when you read the Bible, that mystery is over with too. I know who the devil is, and I know where he's coming from, and I know what his doctrines are. Many millions of doctrines. How would we be able to fight the good fight of faith if we didn't know who we were fighting? So it's extremely important for us to read the Bible so that we know the mystery of God and who Mystery Babylon the Great, the evil, satanic, antichrist, cult, government, and mouth, which is the media. The cult is the Roman Catholic Vatican. It sits in the city with the seven hills or mountains. That's Rome. And then also the government is the United Nations, the one world government. And Rome is the one that dictates the policy. You hear many times the different presidents saying they would never make a move, a major move at all, without the voice of the Pope instructing them. So the government, our Constitution states that the government is not to favor any religion at all, not one religion over the other. But it's obvious that these people that are presidents and the administration are breaking the U.S. Constitution, and when they're sworn into office, they swear to uphold the Constitution and defend it. But they lie, and so that's where we are today. They've taken the Word of God out of school, prayer out of school, out of the courthouse. You can't even mention the name God in there, and they're taking it out of all walks of life. And many people, they're destroying, killing them, murdering them, like at Waco. And they are persecuting and prosecuting Christians for upholding the bloodstained banner of the Lord, for upholding the name of God, upholding the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that we do this is because I know that my reason for serving the Lord, I heard a preacher just today giving three major reasons why we should be bold, to be strong. And when I heard him, he left out the two major elements. And one, it's impossible to be bold unless we have the fear of the Lord. Now, he knew he'd lose most of his congregation if he said that, because people don't want to fear God. But the Bible says that's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. There's nothing, he said, that's the entire duty of mankind. You don't need to do anything but fear God and keep his commandments. So that shows you that you don't need to plan a career for yourself or a future for yourself. If you fear God and keep his commandments, the power of God will come down upon you, and you'll be led by the Spirit, and you'll know what the Lord wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of people are out of the world are homosexuals and other kind of sinners, and they say, we were born homosexuals, so what can we do? That's why the Lord tells you to be born again. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you were a born lesbian, which is ridiculous, because homosexuality and lesbianism is a demon possession. All you need to do to shake that evil spirit that's in you is to become born again of the Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again of the Spirit. So, we were born corrupt. We were born sinners, all of us, amen?
Amen.
But we got to be born again, amen?
Amen.
That way we're cleansed and we're broken loose from that sinful nature that we have. And when the Spirit of God is in us, then if you was a homosexual, you're no more a homosexual. You're a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
You're filled with the Spirit, and you're resurrected from that old life unto the new. And you have power and dominion over all the different elements that existed in you spiritually while you were in darkness, when in your unsaved, only once born nature. So that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. It's an absolute must in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, because you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven in your firstborn condition. The new condition is, I was born a homosexual, and so I'm going to die a homosexual. Oh, you better not do that, because you won't get into heaven that way. You'll go to the lake of fire. You must be born again. Just be born again. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Wash all your sins away in the precious blood that He shed for you on the cross at Calvary. Ask Him to invite Him into your spirit, the spirit of everlasting life. And He'll come in with such power that you'll absolutely hate the way you were and hate the things you do. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll now love the things that you once hated. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Amen.
So love the fact that you're not, you don't have to be in that weakened condition, the weak and beggarly condition, because the Lord told you that you must be born again. So just do it. And live. All right, now do we have the rest something more here?
Next letter from Estill, South Carolina.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Tony Alamo. I am writing this letter hoping you are doing fine in the company of all your loved ones and in the company of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor Alamo, I am truly happy with you and God who put you in my path so that you could explain things to me and tell me the answers to things that were happening in the world regarding the Vatican and Second Babylon, the big nation who, with her money, luxury, and her prostitutions, and many other things, deceive people. I am waiting for more of your literature. The ones you sent me, I am still reading. May the Lord protect you and send His angels to watch over you, and that the enemy, the beast, will be driven from you, so you may be able to continue preaching the word as you have been doing. I feel we are living in the last days, and God's white horse is not too far away, and will come down from heaven so everyone can give an account. And He will punish all the nations who do not do good and who ignored His Son for their gold and silver. It is a great pleasure to read your literature and your book, Messiah. Everything you sent me was beautiful. I hope you can continue to send me your literature. I will tell you of a vision I had 2 years ago. I talked about it to some people, and they think I'm crazy.
Oh, listen real good to this vision, because the way he describes the things that happen after the Spirit of the Lord enters into you is absolutely the exact way that I felt after the Spirit entered into me. But this man put it into words better than I ever have to this date. Okay, it's just fantastic. This man will probably, God, I know we're not to plan a future for ourselves, but this man writes very well. Okay, so whatever the Lord wills. Go ahead.
But God is great, because they knew it was something from God. I was alone reading the Bible, and something told me to look up to the ceiling of the large room I was staying in. When I looked up, I saw diamonds of beautiful colors that were floating in a blue sky.
And that's exactly the way when I looked at a carpet, that it was like colors that are not here on earth, and I've explained that many times. And then when Susie saw the Lord coming back to earth again, she saw him in a red robe, and his feet were together, and his hair was flowing back, and she saw every kind of color around him, and colors that you can't describe, because they're not colors that are here on this earth. And it's just amazing, you know, that I'm sure this man saw this vision, because I've seen similar things, and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So a lot of people say, well, if you saw the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're an apostle. The Apostle Paul, he said he was one that was born out of due season, and I was also, but he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ appear right before me in my room, bedroom at night. I was just laying there wide awake, just thinking and meditating, and all of a sudden this spiritual stick came into the room. It was like the part top of it was towards the ceiling and the bottom of it was towards the floor, and it was shimmering. It was like a neon tube that was made out of a spirit, and then all of a sudden the spirit formed into a mirror, an oval shaped mirror with a gold frame, and it was very bright, and Jesus was sitting in the mirror on a throne. And the throne was nothing magnificent that most people would say, but it was purple and gold wood or gold metal, whatever it was. And it looked like velvet purple, real pretty purple. And he was sitting there, and I thought, this is it. Praise the Lord. And I just went, praise. I said, Jesus. And he said, he put his hand out and said, not now. And I said, what? I wanted to go. I couldn't even think of anything on this earth. I just wanted to go with him, and he said, not now. And so I said, what is this? And he started talking to me, but it was all broken, like somebody was turning a radio off and on, off and on. You just hear a little yep, like this of his words, and I thought, what is this? And the Lord was showing me that I wasn't reading the Bible enough. I was more into building things, place for the brothers to stay and all this, when other people could have done it. But I used to like to be out in the fields and up in the mountains and around the brothers and be talking to them and be encouraging them as I was up there. But the Lord really wanted me to stay near Susie, because at that time we didn't realize that she had cancer. And she had cancer for 17 years, and then she died. And so I've had many other visions and dreams, but when I first got saved, the Lord showed me heaven and hell, after he had already shown himself that he existed to me in that office in Beverly Hills. And that's when I got saved, is when I saw heaven and hell. And I saw the stars break, and the Spirit of the Lord entered into me very strong. And that's when I had the same feeling that this man describes here. It was like the weight of the world came off of my shoulders, and everything seemed bright and new and fresh and alive. And I... first, and I was so bitter before that, but let him explain. This is I love the way he explains this.
The colors were alive and shining brightly, and the light was bright, not like the lights we see here on earth. At that very moment, I started crying and cried for 10 minutes. I was convicted of my sins, and I felt as if someone took off heavy chains that were on me. The Holy Spirit is my best friend and my Father who set me free. I felt light as a feather. I felt my body free and even my mind clear. The Holy Spirit was with me many days wherever I was, and even in my sleep he watched over me. Satan tried to attack me during those first few days, but I overcame him by the Holy Spirit, and Satan could do nothing because the Holy Spirit was in me. The world looked so small and with no value to me, and the Holy Spirit showed me that things that men do here on earth are really of no value.
Absolutely. I mean, what good is all the money that you make? I've had all kinds of money, and then the Lord saved me right when I was at a pinnacle. And the Beatles wanted me to do their promotion when they were big. And also the Rolling Stones. And then I had several other artists that were doing real good. I'd just done the promotion for Sonny and Cher. And Bobby Jameson. And the Lord, when he revealed himself to me, all that looked so small and so trashy. And it was no big problem for me to leave, and I've been in the ministry 41 years, and I've never regretted one second of it. I've never desired to go back because, as this man says, the world, it looked like it's nothing. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it looked to me. And what else did he say about that? I just love this.
The earth and the different governments are small in God's eyes.
Right. The earth, when the Lord looked at me, showed itself to me, I realized then that everything was made out of dirt. Even the metal cars or plastic cars, it all comes out of the dirt. And everything in this world is dull. The houses we live in are made out of dirt, because trees come up, and the metal that is in the houses or in the file cabinets we have in our house or the sinks, every porcelain, all that comes from the earth. It's dirt. And in heaven, everything looks so bright, and you have no real sensation of that anything there is dirt, because there's no dirt there. We're made out of dirt. When we're looking at human beings, we're looking at a heap of dirt. Okay? And you ask the person what size shoes they wear. They say, well, about 9.5. If a woman, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8. And if they're large, 10. And you say, I didn't know dirt could stack up that high on such a little foundation. Amen? But this brother here is really something else. You know, let's hear that he really knows how to explain it.
And that he is the king and owner of all intelligence.
That's another thing that I saw when and realized when the Lord came down with his spirit when I was in the office. I mean, he knows everything. And is he a window peep? And he knows everything. Everything. If you want to call God a window peeper, and when you stand before him, I wouldn't want to stand before him if I had said anything like that, or accused him of anything like that. He just sees everything. And none of it has any appeal to him, I can assure you. All right, then what?
I have no doubts about the Holy Spirit. This is the vision he showed me, and he showed me other things as well that a man who is in the flesh cannot see. Since that day, I certainly believe in God. Before this, I wanted to know God, and it got to the point that I did not believe God existed, that the churches were mistaken, and that this world evolved on its own. Moreover, 2 years ago, he showed me through a vision that God is real, and now I believe that there is a God in this world. Please make sure to keep me on your mailing list, and thank you for the literature you have been sending me.
Say, brother, I sure want you to get a copy of this tape, because I would just love to have a person like you in this church. We have other people that are very strong Christians in this church, but you're certainly invited to be here. Where is he from?
From Estill, South Carolina. His name is Roberto.
Roberto, praise the Lord for you, brother. Okay, and then what else do we have?
This is an email from Africa. Good evening, my pastor and dear brothers in the Lord. I thank you so much in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not only for sending me the newsletters, Bibles, and Messiah books written by Pastor Alamo, but because souls have left their lives of evil to follow the Lord of Lords thanks to this Christian literature.
Praise the Lord. There was a man that I knew that really was planning his future. His name was Kenny Feldman, and his wife Billy. It came to my surprise the other day because we had misunderstanding. I didn't have any misunderstanding, but he did. And he was against our church, and I found out the other day his daughter, who knew we were of the Lord, wrote a letter to me, Kenny Feldman and Billy Feldman's daughter, and told me that both of them had died. And that was that Kenny died around 2 years ago, and his wife Billy died after that. And she wanted to for me to contact her, so make sure, because I've forgotten to do that. Have one of the sisters call her and see, you know, if she's interested in being in the church or helping out in the church one way or the other. All right? Okay, where's the next letter from?
From Glasgow, Scotland.
Okay.
Dear beloved Father and Pastor Alamo, greetings in the name of the soon-coming New Jerusalem King. I am happy and thankful to the Lord to let you know that there is a sister from South Africa who has decided to start distributing the Lord's literature. I like calling it the Lord's literature because it's Him who gives you the messages you write.
Yeah, amen, brother. That's the truth. Then what?
She is reading them.
That's why people better listen to what's in them. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
She is reading them, also listening to the taped messages, and says that these messages are extremely anointed. Since she is so eager to start winning souls, I have given her about 200 copies of world newsletters while waiting to receive her own parcels of God's Word. As she doesn't have access to the Internet, I am hereby requesting the Lord's literature on her behalf for free distribution. 100 copies each of We're Being Watched, Holiness, Free, Assurance, and Earthquake to be sent to her address in South Africa.
Also send some Messiah books and other pieces of literature too, you know, at least one or two of some of the other ones that are more requested than others, all right?
Okay.
Then what?
He signs, Praise the Lord, sincerely yours in the Commonwealth of Spiritual Israel, Lacumbo from Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh, that's the man that we recently wrote a letter. He wanted to come to the United States to be in our church, so I dictated a letter that he needed to the Scottish government to be able to let that come to pass. All right, now we have part 10 of another Pearl Harbor.
Satan and his people are afraid of the prayers of God's people because they know that God hears and answers them. There's no way to solve any of these problems.
Right, everybody pray that all these satanic people that, you know, we're really winning a lot of souls, and everybody needs to pray for us, to pray that God will bind the devil here on earth, and that so that he will be bound in heaven. Let God bind Satan. Hopefully and prayerfully, some of these people will repent, but if they don't, when we pray for them and they don't repent for the Lord, we'll take care of them. Okay, then, because they say so many lies, and the reason for it is not to hurt us, but it's to hurt the people in the world that hear these lies, and therefore they refuse to read the literature and listen to our tapes or read our website. And we have a very good website. Everything that I've written, almost, I mean, there's hundreds of pieces of literature that I've written that are not yet on the website because I've never released them yet. But we have the tapes, the website, the pieces of literature, and the radio stations that we're on. And there's just hundreds of millions of people. Even one radio station alone is supposed to have a radius of 1.5 billion people. Doesn't mean that all of them are listening, but there's a potential there for them to be able to listen to it if they have shortwave radios. And that's what most of the people in India and Africa and some of those other countries listen to is shortwave. Far more than AM, FM. Okay, but so we have a website. If you'd like to send us a request of what radio station we're on nearest you, or if you have something supernatural that you'd like to have on the air as a witness to people all over the world, if you have a testimony that you'd like people to hear, we could put it, and it's good. And I know it's of the Lord. We'll put it right on our website and in our newsletters. And read it over the air for the for everyone in the world to hear it as they tune in. All right, then what?
There's no way to solve any of these problems.
Well, first of all, tell them what our website is.
Okay, it's www.alamoministries.com.
You got that? www.alamoministries.com. Okay. Then what?
There's no way to solve any of these problems by any means on this earth other than through prayer to God in the name of Jesus. Don't try to handle it yourself because you can't. Ask the Comforter, which is Christ.
Yeah. The reason we can't is people, nothing can be done of any significance in the flesh. Everything that is the work of God must be done by the Holy Spirit, including these tapes, tape messages, and the written messages. Then what?
Get hold of God in Jesus. His word tells us not to war, but to pray to Him to avenge us instead.
Well, it tells us to war spiritually, but not with carnal weapons. So we are to fight, but spiritually, in prayer, and with the written word, and to answer the false charges. All right, and then what?
He will take vengeance on all the evil people in the world.
Right. What I meant in that piece of literature is we're not to war. We war. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of these strongholds of people in the world that are not of the Lord. Okay, and then what else?
People in the world are more wicked today than they were when God's people were greatly increased in the days of Moses in Egypt.
Well, the Bible says that there'd be a time of wickedness that the world has never known before. And the reason for it is people are the same. It's the same sins that they're doing back then, they're doing today. But it's amplified because of the television, the website. These television programs today, the Vatican is allowing them to go on. They're teaching people to be homosexuals. They're teaching them to be whores, prostitutes. They're teaching them to be lesbians. They're teaching them to be adulteresses and adulterers. They're teaching them to do all these things, that they're liars, to war with carnal weapons. And you must keep your children away from these things. It's really a battle. It's a war to keep your children away from these things and from people that believe in watching these things. The schools are teaching the children to be fornicators, adulterers and adulteresses, homosexuals, lesbians, liars, fornicators, to be secretive, to not tell your parents what you're doing, and to be a whore. You can see that many of these young girls are doing whorish things, and they're actually selling their preteen bodies on the streets. And so this is the day of temptation that the Bible says that the Lord will keep you from if you are in the Spirit. And so people really need to get into the Spirit and stay there and stay away from all evil. Flee from the very appearance of evil. Amen?
Amen.
Fortunately for myself, I'm legally blind. There isn't much by sight that can tempt me. I really actually almost have to be face to face with a person. If they've been I can tell that they've been eating onions before I recognize who they are. All right, let's go.
That was when a new king came to the throne who knew nothing about Joseph. This king plotted against God's people and forced parents to abandon their newborn male babies so so that they would die. Today, women who abort their children within them are much more evil than they've ever been.
Well, I mean, women today are shameless. They love to expose themselves. They love to abort their children, have fornication, and abort themselves. The exposure, it thrills them. It's really a hateful thing to the Lord. But we need to pray for those people that they'll listen to these broadcasts or somebody's broadcast that preaches against sin, and that they'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from all these things that they're being taught in schools, in the government, in the mouth of the media and the televisions, the websites, different websites, and what do they call that, online or the internet, yes. All these different people work on the internet, and I don't. I don't even know how to turn it on. I do know how to turn the lights on in my room, though. I mean, so I don't understand how it works. But anyway, let's continue on here.
No one is forcing them to kill their children. In Egypt, Pharaoh made them destroy their boy infants.
Right, these people are doing it willingly. That's why the supposed to be, quote, ladies, unquote, today are evil. They're lesbians, they're exhibitionists, they love to show themselves, exhibit themselves. It thrills them to do other things that Satan wants them to do. And they kill their babies willingly. And they get angry if you tell them that they're going to go to hell for it, and be for murder. And if you tell them that they're going to go to hell for fornicating into the lake of fire, committing adultery, or exposing themselves. Because when they do that, what they do is there are a lot of foolish men on earth that are attracted to that sort of thing, and they cause them to commit fornication and adultery in their heart, and actually to commit the actual act themselves. And so therefore what they're doing is helping Satan lead people into the pits of hell and the lake of fire. So you've ladies realize that whatever you do that tempts man or women, if you're a lesbian, that you're going to be judged for it one of these days, and it may be a lot sooner than you think. The Lord could come for you tonight. He could call your name, and when he does, it's all over. You're going to be judged. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Today, they not only do it willingly, but eagerly with zeal. This is one of the reasons God is not going to allow time to go on any longer. Quote, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved.
Right, but be saved, because they'll be so possessed with the devil by the spirit of Satan that they can't shake themselves loose from the bondage that Satan has put them in. They're filled with lust. Their eyes are filled with adultery and fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, murder, thievery, hatred for God instead of the love of God, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If people out there get saved, accept the Lord today, and then stay there with him. And if you write me or call or email me or fax me, I'll show you how to stay alive in the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, unquote, Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. God told me that many of his dreadful, terrible plagues will soon be on their way. Therefore, everyone should repent and believe the gospel.
Okay, well,
now,
the plagues are on the way right now. This piece of literature here was written years ago. And we can see the plagues, the birds are coming. Amen.
Amen.
And the tsunamis are coming, the hurricanes are coming, all the pestilence, the diseases, the earthquakes. Send for the literature. It'll tell you. Refer to my literature and to the Bible. All right, keep going.
The devil rejoices. It's all right to lie. The Bible says, Satan, quote, is a liar and the father of it. John chapter 8, verse 44. Can you as an individual trust a liar? I'm talking about any kind of a liar, a civilian liar, a government liar, the Pope, a common person, a king, a president, a propagandist, or a media liar.
Yeah, the main point there is even a Christian liar. People that claim to be Christians and that lie. Then what?
Can you believe a court that calls itself supreme when they rule it is all right to lie?
And to abort children. Okay, yeah, they ruled that it was all right for this Hustler magazine, Larry Flint, to lie. It's now okay. But not in the eyes of the Lord. You'll be judged for it on the judgment day, and if you're a liar, you'll be sent to hell, because no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No effeminate person shall. No masculine female. Then what?
Well, that's exactly what the Supreme Court of these United States has done. Lying now is case law. They ruled that it's all right to lie. Really, we have no one to trust but God, who cannot lie. What he has said shall come to pass. According to God's word, Rome gets her instructions from Satan, then passes them on to the kings of the earth. We who are members of Christ's body...
Oh, which is the one world government. There's representatives there from every nation. And so it just spreads like wildfire. Then what?
We who are members of Christ's body have the power to...
And it goes to the media then, and that's when it really goes crazy. And people have a tendency to believe the evil that comes through the television and radio. And the whole world has been deceived. So you have to get out of there and get into the word of the Lord. Then what?
We who are members of Christ's body have the power to cast out devils. Jesus said to all of us who are his disciples, the members of his body, his church, quote, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, unquote, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. This means we are able to bind all the evil that's happening on earth once we bind it in heaven. So we must bind
it... Well, once we bind it on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Okay, then what?
So we must bind everything that's evil on earth in heaven before it will be bound by the Lord on earth. If everyone would believe and obey this scripture, we would be able to control everything on earth.
Now, whenever it's bound here on earth, it will be bound in heaven, okay?
God, through Jesus, puts us in charge of the things here on earth when we first bind them by prayer in heaven.
Well, we pray to the Lord to bind them here on earth in heaven first, and then, of course, he binds it, and we utter the words that the Lord says for us to do. And if we believe the word of the Lord, then we do say, yeah, you're bound here on earth, Satan, and we fight the fight of faith if somebody's saying something evil about you, or if you know where evil is, you expose it. That's binding it here on earth, and then you ask the Lord in heaven to bind it and make it good, the things that you're doing, and then he binds it in heaven and from heaven, so that you can see that we have to learn the way to war spiritually, not with carnal weapons. And so we can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That loved us first. And that we have to love, which is the meaning of that, is to keep God's commandments. That is what the meaning of love is in the Bible. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Then what?
If we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us, we are sitting in the driver's seat. Jesus said, quote, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. We who are joined to him by the Holy Spirit are one with Christ. God says if we keep his commandments, we will have, quote, the Holy Spirit whom God hath given to them that obey him, unquote, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Quote, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Well, some people would say, well, how can we keep God's commandments if we don't have the Holy Spirit in the first place? Well, you can keep God's commandments without, you have the Holy Spirit inside. But to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something more. It's to give you the power to be in the ministry. So you can keep the commandments of the Lord. I mean, they're not grievous if you have the Spirit of God in you. It's not hard to abstain from adultery, fornication. It isn't hard for me to say no to murder. It isn't hard for me to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength because I've seen him. And I know that he exists. And there's no way that anyone can stop me from doing what I'm doing with any false doctrine because I've seen the Lord. And that's why I say the main thing that we need to do is fear God and keep his commandments. And if we've seen him, and we're going to keep his commandments because when you see him, it's a fearful thing to know that he's alive and that he is sitting on the throne and that he sees everything. That strikes a tone of fear in me like never before in my life. It's kept me fearing the Lord for 41 years. And this is what keeps me straight. It keeps me from wanting to sin, but the Spirit of the Lord in me also keeps me from wanting to sin. But I don't mind going through trials and tribulations or persecutions. Some people fall away because they don't have the fear of the Lord and because they've never seen the Lord. They never read the Bible. Some people that read the Bible receive him by faith. God gave me visions. And that means I must not be as intelligent as a lot of people because it's better, it's more blessed to have believed without having seen these visions that I've seen than it would be for me to just have received the faith by believing, by reading the Word and believing it and doing it. And some people are very capable of doing that. The Apostle Paul had visions and heard enormously from the word of the Lord from the heaven, and I have too. The real Christians on earth know that I have hearing ears from heaven. I hear what the Lord says, and therefore I have to do it because I know what will happen to me if I don't. Just like Paul did. He said he'd be a castaway, just like with all the people out in the world that refuse and all the fallen away Christians. Okay, then what?
1 John chapter 3, verse 22. However, if we don't do the things that are pleasing in his sight, then he will not hear us when we pray to him to be terrible to the wicked kings of the earth. Psalm 76, verse 12. And terrible in his doing toward the wicked children of men. Psalm 66, verse 5.
All right, I see our time is up again. There's so much to say and so little time. You're only allowed or able to receive so much from the Lord at one time. And you've learned a lot from these broadcasts. But tomorrow we'll be doing, Lord willing, part 11 of Another Pearl Harbor, and we'll have more letters to read. And we may even be able to get into, pretty quick, the first chapter of Luke. But until tomorrow, remember the Lord, that he is good. Keep away from the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. God bless you. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.